First of all, I would like to thank for the invitation to be here. It's a great pleasure to be here. So today I want to talk about something about the homology of affine Grassmannian axon and conical homology of smooth projective G varieties. So this is joint work with Sasha Berman. So some motivation. So the result is very simple. Let me first of all write it down. So G is a reductive group. So you can think of GON, and then X on a smooth projective varieties over the complex numbers. So then the goal of this talk is just to construct. So we want to construct an action of this the homology of the affine G equivalent of Bramall homology of the affine Grassmannian. So the algebra structure is a well convolution action of this on the G equivalent conical homology of X. So X is any smooth projective varieties. And also, this is the Coulomb branch algebra associated with the group G and the zero representation. And we also want to discuss the extension to the general Coulomb branch algebra. I.e. when the representation is non-trivial. So this BFN, they have constructed this Coulomb branch algebras, and we also, and then that Coulomb branch algebra will act on the, so here we will modify this this conical homology. So the X, so the X will be replaced by the X product with the Dutch representation. And we also need to add this, add a C star by dilating action on the Dutch vector space. So that the conical homology is well defined. And also, there's also a well-known result relating the homology of affine Grassmannian to conical homology, i.e., when X is the flag variety, so there is a so well-known Peterson isomorphism relating the homology of affine Grassmannian to the conical homology of conical homology of finite flag variety, and then so we want to discuss the relation. So our construction is the relation with the Peterson isomorphism. So when X is the flag variety, G mod B, okay. And then, first of all, I want to say this is well known. So the existence of this action, I think this is well known to the experts, maybe to some of the audience here, I think. So this is claimed by Telemann. So he has a very short paper called The Role of Coulomb Branch in 2D Gauge Theory. And in that paper, he also claimed that such actions also exist if you replace homology by K theory and conical homology by quantum K theory and so on. Yeah, our goal is very modest, so we just want to write down this action explicitly when the representation is zero. And for example, well known to experts, for example, the given task. This is explained to me by Sasha, and I don't know much about this, so let me just skip this. And let me not just write it down, so let me just say this in words. So the homology of the affine Grassmannian is the same as the homology of the Bessel loops to the maximum compact of G. And then the conical homology, you can think of this as, not precise, you can think of this as the homology of the universal cover of the Bessel loops. So we discussed this during lunch. So Justin told, anyway. And then if you GX on the variety, then we should expect the homology of the Bessel loops should also act on the homology of the universal cover of the Bessel loop space of X. So from this point of view, then this action is very natural. Okay, and our goal is to just write down an explicit construction of this action. Okay. Anyway, so this is our motivation then. So any questions so far? So then I will start with the quantum cohomology, and then so the construction. So this construction really uses this the shift operators in quantum cohomology. So this is studied by several groups of people. So first of all, I think for the cotangential bundle of the flag varieties, so this is studied in a paper of this Berman, Molik, and Okonkwo. And then also for the hearable skin of points on the plane. So then this is studied in a paper of Okonkwo and Panda. And later, more generally, so for the quivo varieties, like Gimo varieties. So this is studied in this book of Molik and Okonkwo. This plays a very important. So they prove that these shift operators for the quivo varieties is just some QKZ operators, and this plays a very important role in the computation of the quantum connections of the quivo varieties. And also in a paper of this for the toric variety. So this is studied by Iritani. In particular, he used the shift operators to reprove the mirror theorem for the toric varieties. Anyway, so then all the results listed in these sections are just can be very easily deduced, already deduced from those papers. Okay. So let me first of all say what is the quantum cohomology then. So X is smooth projective varieties. And then we can have the cohomology of X. So let me just take the complex coefficients. So then we want to so here we have the cup product, and so the to define the quantum cohomology, we just deform the cup product. So we define the quantum product. So we take two cohomology classes. So then we define this quantum product. So then this is defined to be the following. So using star. So we take two cohomology classes, gamma 1 and gamma 2, and then we define their quantum product. So this will lies in the cohomology and drawing some formal variables. So then to determine this class, we can just pair with whatever this class we want to define, we can pair with some other cohomology class. So gamma 3 is also some cohomology class here. And this pairing is just the usual Poincare pairing on the cohomology of X. So then we define this to be. So first of all, the classical term is the cup product. And then we plus some correction terms. And so this will be a formal power series of summation over all the curve classes inside the variety X. We also require this to be effective, i.e. this is represented by some curve in X, and then q to the beta. And then this is some number counting. Okay, so then this is called this Gorm of Witten invariance. Anyway, so this is just some number count. So genus zero counting the rational curves with three marked points. So this means if you consider the Poincare dual cycles associated with these cohomology classes, we just count the rational curves going through those Poincare dual cycles of gamma 1, gamma 2, and gamma 3. And those rational curves will have the homology class represented by beta. Okay. So then the quantum cohomology of X. So then this is as a vector space, this is just the homology of X and then you have to adjoin this formal variables Q to the beta. So this beta lies inside the effective curve classes. So this is the vector space of the quantum cohomology, and then we put a ring structure. So the product is given by this quantum product. Okay. So then this is called the quantum cohomology ring of X. So the basic facts about the quantum cohomology ring. This is associative algebra. This is associative and commutative. So commutative is easy because this have the symmetry here. So if you switch gamma 1 and gamma 2, so this Gromov-Witten invariance, they are the same. But the associativity is some non-trivial statement, associative commutative algebra. And with unit, so the usual unit is just the unit of the quantum cohomology ring. Okay, so then from this, we can define some very interesting connection called the quantum connection. So this is some connection on the following vector bundle. So we consider this trivial vector bundle. So the base is just the h upper 2 of x. And then the fiber of this vector bundle is just the cohomology of x. So this is the trivial vector bundle with the fiber, the cohomology of x. And now we want to define some connection. So if you take a class here, so let's say phi, so we pick a basis in the base. So this formal variable is Q to the beta. So this Q to the beta can be sort of as sections of this vector bundle. So i.e., if you have a Q to the beta, you can evaluate actually this item. If you evaluate this, you just say this to be just Q to the beta and then phi. So this phi lies in the h upper 2 and this beta lies in the h lower 2. So we can this pair is the pair between homology and the cohomology. So this q to the beta, they are functions on there are sections of these vector bundles, and then we define the connection nabla I just to be. So d over d phi and then plus 1 over z, and then z is a formal variable. And then we can add this quantum product by this phi. It's very easy to check. This is a well-known fact. So then this is a flat connection. So follows directed from this associativity of this quantum product. this d over d phi just acts on this q to the beta. So its action is the derivatives of the exponential functions anyway. Okay, yeah, so data is a flat connection. So this is a very important. Yeah, okay. All right, so and then in very concrete examples, so that we have very interesting connections. For example, so if this quaternion bundle of the flag varieties, we get this F and KZ connections studied by Chernik. And also for the like quiver varieties, we get this trigonometric chiasmal connections and so on. Yeah. And there's also a very interesting case when X is just the co-minuscule flag varieties, G mod P. P is a maximum parabolic subgroup, and then also put some minuscule conditions. So then this, the maximum parabolic means the H upper 2 is one dimensional. So you get some connections on the P1. And then, for those cases, those connections are also well studied in this geometrical long lines program. So you can look at the recent paper of Nicholas Tamplay and Thomas Nine. They proved the mirror symmetry conjecture for this spatial G mod P's using really the results from this geometrical long lines stuff. Okay. This is the quantum cohomology, and then So then what is the shift operator? Okay, so if X is a, so this is non-equivalent setting, and now if X is act by some group, so then you can also consider everything in the equivalent setting, and then we can get the equivalent quantum cohomologies and so on. So, and later we will restrict to the equivalent setting. So, and now GX on X. And then we pick a maximum torus. And now we want to introduce the definition of these shift operators. So, so roughly speaking, the shift operators is just those operators will shift the equivalent parameters of these quantum connections. Okay, so we are considering equivalent cohomology. So this delta I will depends on the equivalent parameters, and then we want to construct some operators which will shift the those equivalent parameters. So then we need to start with a one parameter subgroup of the maximum torus. And the goal of this is, so we start with this one parameter subgroup, and then we want to construct some operator, I call it the shift operator, denoted by S kappa, acting on the quantum cohomology. Okay. So this acting on the quantum cohomologies, and then if you apply this operator to the identity class in the quantum cohomologies, you get something which is well known, which is called this set of elements constructed many, many years ago. So the construction looks is as follows. So we have this is C star, and then we can consider this X bundle over P1. So you can consider the product of C2 minus zero, and then product with X, and then we divide by this C star action. And then you can project to the first vector. So then you can get the P1, which is C2 minus zero divided by C star. So this C star acts on C2 minus zero diagonally. And then the C star acting on X via this one parameter subgroup kappa. So T X on X, and then so via this kappa, so then C star will act on X, and then we divide by this C star action. So we get an X bound over P1. So let me denote this by S kappa and then and theta. Okay, so this space. So this is so you can think of. So we have our base P1, and then we have a two fixed points, zero and infinity. And then we construct, so the fibers of this bundle is just the variety X. Okay. And then, so we use X zero to denote the fiber over zero, so which is isomorphic to X, and also use X infinity to denote the fiber over infinity. So both of them are just the isomorphic to X. And then, So the rough idea of this shift operators is just to count the number of sections of this X bundle. So if you write down the formula, so it will be the following. I need to also introduce. So we need to consider the groups acting on this X bundle. So first of all, this torus T will act on this. X bundle just by acting on X, and also, so this is C2 minus zero. We have another torus C star action acting on C2 minus zero. So here we are just taking the one acting diagonally, but we can also take the. So let me write down. So this C star acts on C2 minus zero. So this one just scales the first coordinate So this C star only scales the first coordinate of this C2 minus 0. And we use this Z to denote this equivalent parameters of this C star action. So what are the obvious sections of this vector bundle? So the obvious sections is the following. So if you take a point x, x to be a fixed point under the maximum torus action of x, so then we can construct this. So then we can just take the horizontal section. So then we can just consider this p1 and then cross product with x. So then this is an obvious section of this x bundle. And then so then this defines, so if you consider, so then this is some curve, and then you can consider the curve class of this inside the bundle, inside the x bundle space. And then let me use sigma x to denote this obvious sections of this x bundle. So then the first claim is the following. So we want to study the relation between the effective curve classes in, okay, so my previous notation is the following. So we want to compare the effective curve classes inside the X bundle space and the fiber and also effective. So there is a very easy relation. So then this is just the plus. So the sigma minimum. So what is the sigma minimum? So the claim is the following. So there exists a component denoted by F minimum inside this fixed. If you consider the C star fixed point of x, so then you can consider the connected components. And then the claim is there is a unique component called f minimum such that this is true. So where sigma minimum just equals sigma x for any x less in the, inside that component, connected component. Okay, so then this is just we need to use the projectiveness assumption of x. Okay, and now we can write down the formula for the operators.
Are you assuming kappa is generic in the sense that?
No, we don't. Yeah, so this can be larger than the T fixed point. Yeah. Okay, so then the formula is the following. So recall, so this operator S kappa is from the T cross C star equivalent homology of X. So this C star just acts trivially on X. So then this is just the same as the T equivalent homology of X adjoining that equivalent parameter Z, but then goes to the quantum cohomology of X. So this is that just X trivially, i.e. this operator will depend on this equivalent parameter Z. So all is this. So then we just write down the matrix coefficients for this operator. So we take two cohomology classes, and then we consider. So if we apply this operator to some cohomology class, and then we pair with some other cohomology class, and then we define the matrix coefficients just to be. So now we can just take. So it's very similar to the definition of the quantum product, and then Q to the summation over all the effective curve classes inside X, and then this formal notation Q to the beta, and then here we are just counting some rational curves. So this delta 0, gamma 1, delta infinity, gamma 2. 0, 2, beta. Okay. So what is the meaning of this delta zero? And is the inclusion of this zero fiber. So okay, so if I write x zero. So the inclusion of this zero fiber, which is isomorphic to x inside this ambient inside this x bundle. And similarly for the delta infinity. And then, so then this is the genus zero and the two-pointed Gromov-Witten invariance inside this X bundle space. So this, so the summation is over all the curve classes in X. And then here we are beta plus sigma minimum. Such so by this claim, so then beta plus this sigma minimum is just the curve classes inside this bundle space. And when beta runs through all the effective curve classes, we get all the effective curve classes inside the bundle space.
Another quick question: like when you write plus, is it it's not direct? You're thinking of H2, or is it direct?
It's a direct sum. Yeah.
Direct. Okay.
Yeah. So this has this is does not less in the fiber. Yeah. Okay.
One more thing. So x needn't actually be a fixed point for t.
Can I say again?
X. In f min,
yeah,
it might not be actually fixed for all of t, and that's okay.
It's only fixed by this one parameter subgroup. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Okay, so then this is the operator, and so by the, so this is in terms of the matrix coefficients. So you can also write it down in terms of these correspondences between x and x itself. So you can just take the q to the beta, and then you can consider this virtual fundamental cycle of this x tilde spaces, and then you push forward to x cross x. So then that will give you a correspondence between x and cross x, and then you just use that correspondence to define this operator from x to from the cohomology of x to x. But the image is becomes the quantum cohomology because of this formal parameters q to the beta. So that's why we the image lies in the quantum cohomology instead of the original cohomology. Okay. So and then. So then the first okay. So I just mentioned. So if you take the image of this identity of the unit class inside the cohomology of X, so then this, okay. So then this, okay. So first of all, this, so this actual C star acts trivially on X. So then this is just the cohomology. You can T equal the cohomology or join this formal or join this equivalent parameter Z. And now if you just let this Z goes to zero. Okay, so then this lies in the quantum cohomology of X. So let me use this S of kappa to denote this, and then this is so then this is just the I think people call this set of elements. Which is constructed by set of many years ago. Okay. okay, so this is the construction, and then the most important property of this is the okay. So there are several properties. So let me write it down. Okay. So then first of all, so if you consider the limit z goes to zero of this operator, so then the claim is so then this commutes. So then this limit operator will commute with the operators of quantum multiplications. So on this quantum cohomology, you have the obvious operators coming from the quantum multiplication by some classes inside the cohomology ring. And then, so this limit operator will commute with the quantum multiplications. So then in particular, so then this limit operator is just equal to the quantum multiplication by this set of elements is of kappa. This is the very okay. And then I will list the other properties we need. So all the properties I'm going to write down follows from this localization formula. So let me just write down localization with respect to this T and this C star. Okay. So if you counting. So this is our X bundle space. And then so we are counting the those rational curve we are counting those rational curves such which is a section of this X bundle, and then so we have two marked points lying on the zero and the other one lying on the infinity, so p1 and p2. And then if you look at the torus fixed points of this, so then you can just break this into if you look at the torus fixed points on this module space of the stable maps going to this bundle space, so then you can just break such curves into the components inside x0 and the components inside the infinity, x infinity, and also this horizontal sections. So anyway, so if you apply this this localization, so then you will get the following formula for this operator. So this is actually is very simple. So then this just equals that. So let me write down. So then this shift operator is just the conjugation of some very simple operator. So then what is this? So M. So M is called the fundamental solution of this arc. Fundamental solution of the quantum differential of this quantum differential equation. So you have this quantum connections, and then you can consider the fundamental solution of that system of differential equations, and this is this M, basically just coming from this these pictures. And then this the thing in the middle, this is also something which is easy to describe. So then this will be some diagonal operators. On diagonal in the sense of the fixed components, anyway. So if you just run some localization argument, you can get something like this. Okay, so then, so now let me write down the properties of these operators. So first of all, so if you consider the quantum connection and these operators S kappa, so they commute with each other, and then if you consider the trivial one parameter subgroup, so zero means the trivial one parameter subgroup, so then you just get the identity operator. And then if you consider the composition of this S kappa and SL, so then this almost equals the shift operator corresponding to the product of this these two one parameter subgroups, but there's some correction terms, so Q to the something. So let me, okay, there's some stuff here, so let me just not write down the explicit formula. And then so G, and the other one is also if W is some element in the well group, and then you can consider the W conjugate of this one parameter subgroup, so you get a W kappa, so then this is the same as the well group action on, so the conjugation by the well group action, so this is So the well group action on the T equivalent cohomology of X. So because our variety X has a G action, so then in particular, so torus equivalent cohomology will always admit a well group action. And this is the W action. Okay. All right. So then this is some formal properties flowing from that localization formula. And now let's Yes.
What? It's Q, like when you multiply the two.
Yeah, there is some correction term here.
Oh, okay, you didn't write it.
I didn't write down the explicit formula.
Right, that's fine.
Okay. All right, so then, so the example, so the simplest example, X equals the projective space. So this example is computed in the paper of Iritani. So this is not a direct computation. It actually uses the mirror theorem to compute this. So then we have this one prime. So then C star to the power of n will act on this, and then we consider this EI. So this one, so just the goes to the S component. Okay, so this is the one parameter subgroup EI. And then we use this divisor, we use DI to denote this divisor ZI equals zero inside the projective space. And then the formula is the following. So then this set, so then this so then this set of element SI associated to this one parameter subgroup, this is just the DI. So this divisor class inside the conical monoid of X. And then you see, so if you consider the diagonal action, so this if you consider this diagonal one parameter subgroup, so then this acts trivially on the projective space. Okay, so then you can consider, so then if you consider this corresponding set of elements, so then this. So then this should be the identity, but because of this correction term, so if you want to write this into the sum or into the product of this SE1 and the quantum product with SE2 and so on and SEN, so then the right hand side is just the quantum product of these divisors D2 DN. And then the correction term is just this Q. So the curve classes in, so H lower 2 is one dimensional. So I'm just using Q without writing H beta because it's one dimensional. Okay, and then this relation. So this just equals Q because this one parameter subgroup acts trivially. So then this relation Q equals. Q equals the hyperplane, the nth power of the hyperplane class. So then this is just the usual relation in the quantum cohomology of the projective space. Okay, so then, yeah, this is the construction of the shift operators. And then in the remaining so then if you want to use this to construct the action of the homology of the alpha Grassmannian, so then the first thing is to fix this correction term q to the something here, because we want this to behave well with respect to multiplication. And then so then this is the thing we are going to do now. Yes.
About references, is there a place like the references you mentioned all seem to be about some specific cases, and in fact most of them like weren't projective, which maybe you were assuming, but is there like a place where this is all written down for general like Gromov-Wendt invariants?
Oh, so if he, so he, so this Iritani's paper and also this Mollick and Okenkopf book. So for example, they consider quiver varieties. Okay. Okay. So then, first of all, we want to fix such a correction term. So then this, so the third part. So then this is, so we want to renormalize these operators so that they behave well with respect to these product structures. So then this, we need to use this map used a lot. So in this book of Mollick and Okenkopf, so i.e. there exists a map mu, goes from the fixed points to the H lower two, and the tensor with the characters of the maximum of the torus. These are character lattice. So how do they define this such a map? So this definition depends on. So first of all, you just pick an equivalent leaf. So this H upper two, you pick an equivalent leaf to the torus equivalent cohomology of X. And then let me use, so then this D just goes to D of T to denote is it lies in the equivalent cohomology. And then we define this, so if P lies in a if P is a fixed point, so then mu of P, so lies here, and then so this H lower two, we can pair with some element in the H upper two, so we can pair with D, and then we want to get some element in the character lattice, so we just define this to be, so we use this equivalent lift, and then we restrict to this fixed point, so then we get some element in the character lattice of the maximum torus, so then, yeah. So this construction depends on some lift, so then in particular, so this is only well defined up to a shift, but so the properties is the following. So if P and Q are two fixed points, so then their difference, this is well defined. So that does not depend on that shift. But in special cases, so this is so in our case, so that's why we need to restrict G is simply connected, and also semi simple. So in this case, we can have a uniquely defined such map. So because so in the first step, we pick an G equivalent lift from, and now this is so we take the integral coefficients going to the H. So we just pick a G equivalent lift. So this is so we use the following fact. So If you have a G equivalent line bundle if you have some line bundle on a smooth projective X and a GX on X, so then there's always some power of that line bundle such that the power of that line bundle has a G equivalent structure. But if G is simply connected, so that power you can just take to be one, so that line bundle will has a G equivalent structure. And then we use that fact to define this. And the G is semi-simple, so then this lift is unique. And then we define then we normalize the operators S kappa. So we define this new operator to be where this element X lies inside the minimum fixed component associated to kappa. So recall, so there is some one parameter subgroup, we have some minimum fixed component. And then we just pick an arbitrary point in that minimum fixed component, and then we use this map mu. And then this lies in here, and then we kill this character lattice part by just pairing with these curve characters. So then this realizes inside the curve class of X. So then this Q to the something is the form of parameters in the quantum cohomology. So then an easy lemma of this is the following. So after this real normalization, so then everything becomes very well. So the product just equals the equals the operator corresponding to the sum to the product of the one parameter subgroups.
For the things that weren't 1-1 forms, what were you doing?
Sorry?
You said something about for line bundles, you can just put an ecomerge structure, and that's like the map on 1-1 forms.
Yeah. That's a very good question, actually. So maybe you can discuss after, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
For symplectic resolutions, I guess they're always identified.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, for very good X, we are fine. Yeah.
Like in all the references except for the torrent one.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
More questions? Okay, so then this is just the, okay, maybe I spent too much time on the quantum cohomology side, and then this is all I want to talk about the shift operators. So there exist some very general constructions of the shift operators, but it has some not very good properties because of this correction factors in this multiplication formulas, and then we can just use some map. We can just correct this by adding some formal parameters, and then okay, and then the map we want to construct is the following. Okay, so we already heard in this morning, so this affine Grassmannian Go of G, so you can just take this to be this quotient, and then so there's a very odd result of Bezukhonnikov and then Finkelberg and then Mikulich. Okay, so then they computed the homology of this thing of the affine Grassmannian, and they have this very in their paper, they have several descriptions, and then one of the descriptions is the following. So this is just the functions on the cotangent bundle of the dual torus, and then you have to add some rational function. So E alpha check minus one divided. So alpha runs through over all the roots in G, and then we take the well group invariants. Okay. So then this the functions on the cotangent bundle of the dual torus, so one copy is the function on the dual torus. So then this E alpha check is the function on the dual torus, and then the fiber of this cotangent bundle of the dual torus is just the Lie algebra of the maximum torus, and then this alpha is the functions on the fiber, and then we divide by this, i.e. we take the rational functions. Okay. And then So we just use this fact. So you use their theorem, and then we construct the map. So this algebra homomorphism. So we start with this function on the dual torus. So as I said, so this is functions on the cotangent on the dual torus, and then you tensor with the functions on the cotangent fiber, which is functions on the Lie algebra of the maximum torus, and then we want to construct. First of all, we want to construct some map going to the quantum cohomology of X. So first of all, functions on the cotangent fiber, that's easy. So this just by the identity map goes to the. So this is just the same as the equivalent cohomology of a point. So the torus equivalent cohomology of a point, and then So if you have element here, so an element here is the same as the characters of the dual torus is the same as the co-characters of the original torus. So i.e. if we start with some one parameter subgroup, so then this lies inside the functions on the dual torus. So that's why I start with this one parameter subgroup when I define the shift operators. And then this just goes to the limit z goes to zero, and then this normalized shift operators. Okay, so then we define such a map, and then our main result is So it's the following. So then, so first of all, so then this, so then this, so this map extends to an algebra homomorphism from this content. So you can, so it's, you can just extend this to this rational functions. Okay, so that's, and then also we prove this is a well group invariant. It's compatible with the well group action. Okay. Yeah. So the actually, so the only non, only not so easy thing is to extend. So we want to. So we need to extend this map per se to these rational functions. Yeah, we want to show some cohomology classes is divisible by these equivalent parameters. Okay. And this well group invariant is not so hard. Okay. So then with these two properties, so then we just have a map going from the homology of affine Grassmannian to the quantum cohomology of G equivalent quantum cohomology of X. So that's the map we constructed. Mm. Okay. Okay, so so in the remaining 0 minutes, so then I want to mention, so then first of all, so this is about the zero representation case, and then if we have this so if you have this non-zero representations, also so n derived sum with this n dual, so then we so let me just write down these notations. So then we have this Coulomb branch, and then so mg of n. So then one property of this is so if you consider functions on this Coulomb branch, so then first of all there is an injective map, so injective algebra homomorphism going to the functions on the zero Coulomb branch, i.e., so the this homology ring of the affine Grassmannian. Okay. And then here we construct a map going to the quantum cohomology G equivalent quantum cohomology of X. So then, so the but we have this map, so X cross a vector space we can project to X. So X is a, so n is a vector space because of the n is a vector space, so then we have, so then if you just consider this pullback map, so the quantum cohomology of X, and also we need to add this C star action, so C star acts trivial on X, but this C star only acts on n going to the G cross C star equivalent cohomology of X cross N. So here we need to localize because this is non-compact. So the C star will contract N to a point so that the quantum cohomology is well defined. And anyway, so what I want to say is, so if N is a vector space, and then this pullback map, this is actually, this is an algebra homomorphism. So usually we don't have such statements. Okay, and then we can just compose with all of these maps, the Coulomb branch going to the homology of affine Grassmannian and going to the quantum cohomology of X, and then we use this pullback map. So then this so then this Coulomb branch algebra will act on the quantum cohomology of these spaces. So this is the most the general statement claimed by Telemann. And also he claims this for the quantum K theory, but I don't know whether this is the same as or what he claimed, and then, so then the other interesting example is the following. So if X is the flag variety, so G mod B, B is a Brell subgroup. So then we have this. So let me write down. this Peterson isomorphism. So the rigorous treatment of this is in this paper, in this later paper of this Thomas Nam and Shimazuno. So what they did, so what is this? So they consider the T equivalent homology of the affine Grassmannian. And then, so there is an isomorphism. So then this is called the Peterson isomorphism. Going to T equivalent conical homology of the flag variety, but localized. Okay. And then we have this BFM, so this Bezukhonnikov, Finkelberg, and Mikovic go into functions on the cotangent bundle of the dual torus, and then you are drawing these rational functions. And then, so what we did is actually we just construct this map using this limit of the shift operators. So then the question is whether this is commutative, i.e. whether this construction is just the same as this Peterson isomorphism. So unfortunately, we can only check this for the rank one case, for SL2C. For SL2C, this is true, but for general, we don't know. So the difficulty lies in this BFM. So they prove this by just reducing everything to the rank one case. So they compute everything in rank one. So then in particular, for general G, we don't know how does this isomorphism goes. And also the other difficulty is in computing this shift operators, you need to compute the Gromov winter invariance of the G mod B, which is also quite hard to me. And then, this is without the...
Desiros, what's the meaning of desiros? So
yeah.
There's some things are algebras, and then there was something that the algebras were acting on, but now it's the thing on the bottom. Because there is log.
No. So we just using the operators and applying to the identity class in here, so then we get some cohomology class.
And algebra acts on itself.
Yeah, that's right.
One way to think about this is there's two module structures for that equivariant cohomology of the Grassmannian on the quantum cohomology, and the question is, are they the same?
Mm-hmm. Or even these are just all algebras. These are just algebra homomorphisms. You could, in particular, restrict to thinking of the latter as just a module. But there's no algebra. Like his claim here is...
Anyway, all of them are commutative. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so all these constructions is just the G equivalent homologies. We didn't talk. So on the affine Grassmannian, there's also loop rotation actions. So our hope is to extend it to this loop rotation equivalent homology of the affine Grassmannian, and then this conical homology, then we just want to replace this by the quantum D modules of X. So recall, we have from the quantum homology, we construct some quantum connections, which are flat connections. So then in particular, we have some D modules, and that D module is called this quantum D module. And then our expectation is, so the loop rotation equivalent homologies should act on the these quantum D modules. But unfortunately, we don't know how to do this because we don't have very explicit descriptions of this loop rotation equivalent homology of the affine Grassmannian. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I will stop here. Yeah. Thanks. Yes.
Yeah. So I was thinking actually about that problem a little.
Uh huh. Okay.
I think you can probably do it.
Okay. Great.
So the first thing that like you'd want to do. Is prove the same theorem, but for the affine equal Fourier equivariant homology, the affine flag variety
mm-hmm.
acting on the T equivariant quantum homology of the G space.
Yeah.
then that actually has like a really nice, that algebra has a really nice presentation. It's just like basically the thing for the differential operators on the torus plus the Nilheka algebra.
Okay.
And then you would, the thing for the torus would work exactly the same, but now instead of Weyl group invariance, you'd have to prove Nilheka algebra invariance. And then just by passing to the, there's an idempotent inside that you can use to pass to the G-Ivovarian cohomology. I don't think you'll have to do any extra work.
Okay. We should talk about this. Anyway.
So I kind of thought about this before, and I'd always hoped that actions of this type would come from the following format. So like this, as you mentioned, is an algebra under convolution. And you know, there's always this way of producing modules, this kind of like Springer theory idea that if you kind of have an appropriate diagram sort of a module space. So do you know if you can kind of write down a space whose, you know, homology or geoequivariant homology or something is this quantum homology, and where this action kind of comes geometrically? Like, can you realize this, the action, this module structure, just from this kind of Springer theory format?
Yeah, that's what I think, what I mentioned. So you can write some correspondences, but that correspondence is very crazy. So just some push forward of this virtual fundamental cycles, you can get some correspondences, and then this action is just induced by those correspondences. Is that what you're asking?
I thought something about like this free loop space picture for homology or something.
Yeah, it should be related to that. I mean, so when you say correspondences, like explicitly between
X and X.
Between X and X.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we can do that.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
I mean, I think, you know, some one way to say Dylan's question is like, this homology of the affine Grossmannian naturally acts on the G of O equivariant homology of the G of K space using convolution. So if there's some G of K space whose G of O homology is the quantum cohomology. The answer is probably this free loop space.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Right, if you had been at lunch, you would have known.
Great.
Any other questions? Okay.
Yeah, thanks.